I am your host, Megan Kenny. Welcome to the Fairy Tale Story Hour, where imagination meets possibility. The adventure awaits us, so let's begin. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Third Realm Integration Podcast as I take you through a journey this evening on our Fairy Tale Story Hour. Tonight, I will be reading the original version of Beauty and the Beast, which carries a great message about the ways in which we can connect to the suffering of another person as a way to really see the human side of them and move past the exterior and the facade. So I encourage you guys to get as comfortable as possible. Hopefully you're winding down for the night and disconnecting from the outside world that can create so much stress and wreak so much havoc on our energetic system and on our bodies. Our mind just going. Now is an opportunity to really slow down and drop in. So I encourage you to pause this episode if need be. Get yourself some tea, put on a bathrobe, get your slippers on, get cozy, light a candle. Lighting candles and using incense, it's not just like a self-care thing. It's quite magical of what can happen when you stare into the flame. That's what Nostradamus did when he made all of his predictions. That's how he meditated. So light the candle, and sometimes people even believe that lighting the candle and using the incense in a sacred way with an intention, the smoke and the flame, is actually how you connect to the other realms. So let's get into the story tonight. And just as a reminder, I never read the stories before I jump on here. I read them live with you and move with the flow of the story as we go in real time. So this is not the Disney version of Beauty and the Beast. This, I do believe, is the original. The French version, maybe. Maybe there's more than one. But we're going to go with this one tonight. Are you ready? Because I am. All right, here we go. Beauty and the Beast. There once lived in France a wealthy merchant who had three daughters, each more lovely than words could tell. He loved his daughters more than his entire fortune, and he loved his youngest daughter best of all because she was the kindest and most loving. One day the good merchant made ready to leave on a trading voyage across the sea. Before departing, he calls his daughters to him. "Tell me," he said, "what presents shall I bring you?" The first daughter curtsied low before her father and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, sire, a mirror of oriental crystal, such that I may see reflected in it all the beauty under the sun." Next, his second daughter curtsied low and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, sire, a golden crown set with precious pearls, such that turns the dark of night into the light of day." Then the youngest daughter curtsied low and said, "Please bring me, sire, a dark red rose." Then, because her father looked disappointed that she only wanted a simple gift, she added, "The best there is." The good merchant departed. He sailed into foreign ports, traded in their markets, sold his wares at thrice their value, and bought others at three times less. He obtained a golden crown set with precious pearls that turned the dark of night into the light of day, and he purchased a crystal mirror that reflected all the beauty under the sun. Yet nowhere could he find the special rose. "How can I find what it is that I know not?" thought he. "Who is to say which rose is the best there is?" In the gardens of kings and sultans, he came upon many roses of great beauty. But no one could assure him that any one red rose was the best there was. As he journeyed home disappointed, his ship was set upon pirates, and he barely escaped with his life, swimming alone to an uncharted island. He searched, but could find no members of his crew left alive. He wandered up the shore and into a dense, dark forest. Not really knowing what he was doing, he pushed his way through the undergrowth, and the farther he went, the easier it became. A beaten track appeared before his feet. The trees and bushes parted before him. From dawn to dusk, he walked along the path, which appeared beneath his feet, never hearing a beast roar, a snake hiss, an owl hoot, or a bird sing. A deathly silence lay all about him. But then, as night descended, he saw through the trees a glow, which as he drew near, he could see came from a magnificent palace, standing in a forest clearing. It shone with the light of blazing gold and precious gems. It hurt his eyes just to gaze upon it. All the palace windows were thrown open, and from within came sweet music, such as the merchant had never heard before. Entering the courtyard through the open portals, he followed a path of white marble, past crystal fountains and fragrant blossoms of untold beauty and trees, heavy with sweet ripe fruits. He climbed a staircase, carpeted with crimson velvet, into the palace, and ventured first into one chamber, then a second, a fifth, and a tenth. Still, there was not a soul to be seen. Everywhere his gaze met furnishings fit for a king. Gold, silver, and ivory of elephant and mammoth. The good merchant marveled at such wealth, yet wondered even more at the absence of master and servants. And although there was no one to be seen, the air was filled with soft, melodious music. After a while, though, the merchant said to himself, "This finery is all very well, but I wish there was something to eat." At once a table appeared before him, set with just a single place. Being very hungry, he ate his fill, drained 3 goblets of wine, and then, feeling tired, made his way to a lofty bedchamber. He lay down upon a bed of swan's down, drew the silken canopy over him, and instantly it grew dark as at twilight, and the music seemed to fade away. The next morning, when he awoke, he looked out of the window and, to his great joy, perceived a grassy mound on which was growing a dark red rose of quite exquisite beauty. Its fragrance filled the air with sweet perfume. Eagerly, he ran down to the palace gardens and plucked it from its bed. At that moment, with no black warning cloud, lightning flashed, thunder rolled, and the earth shook beneath his feet. There appeared before him, as from the ground, a creature who was neither man nor beast, a monster most terrible to behold. "I welcomed you as an honored guest," the beast roared in a savage voice. "I gave you food and rest. Is this how you repay my kindness, by stealing my rose? Learn then your punishment. You must die this instant." On every side, a great chorus of savage voices took up the cry, "You must die this instant." The good merchant shook with fear. On every side, from under every bush and tree, from the water and the ground, he beheld a host of evil spirits crawling towards him. He fell to his knees, crying that the rose was for his youngest, kindest daughter, not for himself. The beast fell silent and then spoke again. "I will pardon you on one condition. Within 3 days, your daughter shall come here of her own accord to suffer in your stead." With that, he gave the merchant a golden ring, and the poor man found himself transported home, still clutching the fateful rose. There, amidst his family, he related his adventure. Straightway, the youngest daughter fell on her knees before him, crying. "Gladly will I take your place, sire, but mourn me not while yet I live. One day, God grant, I shall return to you." 3 days soon passed, and then, in silent sadness, she put the ring upon her finger and vanished with her rose. In no time at all, she found herself within the palace gardens, standing before that grassy mound. And as she approached, the rose flew from her hands and settled in its former bed, blossoming more richly than ever before. As she entered the palace, sweet music played on invisible strings and sumptuous food was served by unseen hands. As she sat down to dine, she saw words of fire inscribe themselves upon the white marble wall. "Welcome, dear beauty. Have no fear, for you are queen and mistress here." Having eaten and found no soul to thank, she made her way to the lofty chamber and slept soundly in the bed of swan's down. Thus it was that the merchant's lovely daughter came to live in the enchanted palace. Each day gorgeous robes were laid before her. Each day she was entertained by new diversions. She would ride through the dark forests in unharnessed carriages, the trees and bushes parting before her. She would read and play music and embroider as the fancy took her. So time passed. The tale is sooner told than the deed is done, and the merchant's youngest daughter grew accustomed to her new life. Nothing made her fearful any more. Daily she grew more fond of her gracious master, though she had never seen him, for she saw that he loved her more than he loved himself. He made her life as happy and beautiful as he possibly could, and she longed to hear his voice and to converse with him. The only way he communicated with her was to write his messages in words of fire upon the marble wall. So she began to beseech him, but he would not listen, afraid that his savage voice would destroy her trust. She continued to beg him, and at last, unable to resist her any longer, he wrote his final message on the marble wall. "In the garden at midday, dear beauty, you must say, speak with me, my loyal servant." The merchant's lovely daughter could not conceal her joy. Long before midday, she was seated in the garden, and as the sun rose overhead, she said in a trembling voice, "Fear not, my kind and gracious master, that you will scare me with your voice. Speak with me, my loyal servant." From behind a nearby bush there came a piteous sigh. Then a terrible voice rang out, wild and snarling. At first she was filled with horror, and not a little afraid, but she mastered her fear, and as she listened to his words, so wise and kind, her heart grew lighter. From that time forth, they conversed throughout the day, the beauty and the beast. His gnarling voice made her afraid no longer, and they would hold long conversations from dawn to dusk. Time passed, but there came a day when the merchant's youngest daughter longed to see the beast with her own eyes. Again she began to beg and beseech him. For a long time he did not consent, afraid that she would hate him once she set eyes on his repulsive form. Yet he couldn't endure her tears and at last yielded to her pleas. "I cannot go against your wishes, since I love you more than I care for myself," said the beast. "I will grant your wish, but I know it may destroy us both. Come to the gardens in the shadows of the dusk and say, 'Show yourself to me, dear friend.'" Unalarmed and unafraid, she went directly to the garden at the appointed hour, and as the sun was sinking low, she called, "Show yourself to me, dear friend." At a distance, the beast showed himself to her, but fleetingly. He quickly moved across the path and disappeared into the bushes. At once she let out a cry of horror and swooned upon the ground. So horrible indeed was that awful creature. When the maid regained her senses, she heard sobbing as if a heart would break. She felt ashamed and sorry. Mastering her timid heart, she spoke up firmly. "Do not weep, my friend. I fear your form no longer. Your ugly shape is not your doing. True beauty lies within, not in what is without." From that day forth, they walked and talked together in trust and wisdom. And the merchant's daughter slowly lost her fear. All day they were together. At breakfast and dinner, they ate their fill of sweetmeats and refreshed themselves with meads and sherbets. Of a morning and afternoon, they would wander through the verdant gardens or drive in the dark forests in a carriage which needed no horses. One night, however, the merchant's lovely daughter dreamed that her father was lying ill, and an inconsolable grief fell upon her. When she told the beast of her deep sorrow, he, kind soul, at once dispatched her home. "Go forthwith," he said, "but heed this, dear beauty. Should you not return within 3 days, I shall die that very instant, because I love you dearly and cannot live without you." He put the golden ring upon her finger, and straightway she found herself transported home. How happy her father and her sisters were. How astonished they were to hear her story. And how swiftly the good merchant recovered his sound health. But when the hour drew near for her to return, her sisters begged her not to go. "Let him perish as he deserves," they said. "Should I repay such kindness with the selfish act?" the girl replied. "I would not be worthy of life upon this earth." But the sisters, being envious of her devotion, played a trick upon her. Secretly, they put back by one full hour all the household clocks. Thus, when the final hour came, the merchant's youngest daughter felt a piercing heartache and looked constantly at her father's clocks. At last, her heart could bear the pain no longer, and 1 minute before the appointed time, she put the golden ring upon her finger and found herself once more before the splendid palace. All was still. No music played, no bird song echoed from the verdant gardens, and no answer met her when she called. With fast beating heart, she ran to the grassy mound, and there beheld the beast lying on the ground, clasping the rose in his misshapen paw. Gently she cried to rouse him, thinking that he'd fallen asleep while waiting for her, but she found no life in his body. Her eyes brimmed with shame and pity. She put her slender arms around his ugly neck and kissed him tenderly, a single tear falling on his death-cold head. No sooner had she kissed him than lightning flashed on every side and thunder struck the grassy mound. The girl fell senseless to the ground. When she awoke, she found herself in a chamber of white marble, sitting on a golden throne beside a young and handsome prince. Before them stood her dear father and her sisters. The handsome prince spoke thus to her, "When I was but an infant, an evil sorcerer, being angry with the king, my father, turned me into that beast whom you befriended. Full 30 years I suffered, thus enticing 11 maidens to my enchanted palace. You were the 12th, but only you could break the spell, because you grew to love me truly, forgetting my form and seeing the kindness in my heart and the wisdom in my mind. I beg you now to be my queen." Without more ado, a grand wedding was held amid great rejoicing, and their happiness, being built on goodness, was complete. And that is it, my friends, for tonight's Fairy Tale Story Hour. I encourage you to reflect on tonight's fairy tale, think about how it relates to you, and what parts of the story are also in you. May the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody.